Let us turn in the Word today, if you have your Bible, to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 11. And we want to talk about what God feeds us and what our appetite might be. So let me take the context here. I'm going to go back into chapter 10 a little bit and read just a little bit of the last few verses. Let's start in verse 33 of chapter 10, and just to get it in context. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. That's interesting. You know what? I never noticed that before. The ark was going to search out a resting place for them. And I am going to do some teaching on the ark here in a little bit, but not today. It says, and the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Now, let's get into the next chapter. That's the context here. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and he consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. That would be the outskirts of the camp. Now, we'll see in a minute what they were complaining about. Just about anything you can complain about is what they were complaining about. But I find it interesting. Let's just stop on a few of these words. It says they complained and the Lord heard it. Well, I would think it would be very obvious. The Lord hears everything. But why does the scripture say in this place and the Lord heard it? Now, we know that the Lord is everywhere, do we not? But on the other hand, we know that the Lord also makes visitation. Well, if he's everywhere, he's already there. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that he's going to do something in particular. When the Lord makes a visit, in other words, the Lord, shall we say, heard, saw, smelled what was going on in Sodom. Okay? And the Lord said to Abraham, the cry of it has come up to me, and I'm going to go down and see if it's altogether as bad, am I saying it right, as the cry thereof, something like that. Now, God already knew. So what he was actually saying, he didn't have to see. What he was going to do is he was going to visit and do something about it. Okay? So I guess we pray for a visitation of God, don't we? There's another kind of visitation that you may not want. Okay? And it's going to do something you may not like. So here we are now in Israel among God's people. It says they complained, it displeased the Lord, and he heard it, and his anger was kindled. I don't think we want to get the anger of the Lord kindled against us, do we? We know who's going to win in that situation. It's not going to be me. So watch what we do. All right, so let's see what it was all about. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? I found it interesting. I read that verse in the Amplified, I think it was yesterday or last evening or something. The mixed multitude, the how did the Amplified say it? I think he said the mixed rabble, I think the way he said it, the mixed rabble of the Egyptians that had joined with them in coming out. Catch that verse. You got it right there, Larry. It's Numbers 11:4.
And the mixed multitude among them, the rabble who followed Israel from Egypt.
Yeah, there we go.
Began to lust greatly for familiar and dainty food. And the Israelites wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?"
Okay, so I find it interesting that the Amplified uses the term the rabble that followed them from Egypt. In other words, these were not the true... Yes, there was plenty of problem among the true people of God. But in other words, they were not all true Israelites by... as in seed of Abraham, you know, okay? But Egyptians also helped to stir them up.
Yeah.
Okay? If there was any rebellion among them, these Egyptians were happy to probe right into it and get it going. Yeah, well, you know, we had it better back there. You know? And you know how people can do that. You've been among people in the course of your life that have done something like that, haven't you?
Even in the churches.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Imagine that.
I've always said that, you know, what's worse than a rabbler that comes into the church and upsets everything and then leaves is one that comes into the church, upsets everything, and stays.
And stays.
That's worse.
So these are people that came in, stirred them up, okay? And I find it interesting also that it doesn't say it in the King James, but in the Amplified it says, and they wanted something dainty, okay, to eat. In other words, we're used to the finer food. I can't believe that these are not kings. What kind of fine food did they have that they were used to? I mean, Pharaoh and his camp were the ones that ate the quote-unquote fine food. But, nevertheless, they didn't like what they were getting in the wilderness. So, here's what they said. Now, he says, "Who will give us flesh to eat?" Can we take this in a spiritual interpretation here for a minute? Brother Mark, why are you always spiritualizing things? Because the Bible does, okay? They wanted flesh. Now, there was nothing wrong with the manna that God had provided for them. They acknowledged there was nothing wrong with the manna that God had provided. It was perfect food. It was more perfect food than anything you can buy in the grocery store today. But it didn't tickle their fancy. I mean, it wasn't like sitting down in a nice restaurant with you know, a half a dozen different sets of silverware laid out in front. Have you ever been to a place like that where they do that? I mean, they put about four forks on one side and, you know, three or four spoons. And you're supposed to figure out from all that what you're going to have to eat. And when everything is done and there's still another thing left, then you know, well, that one's they're going to bring some dessert and that's the one to eat. Well, this is all... They wanted something fine, okay? Their appetite... Now, God is doing something spiritual with them. All right, so let's see what they said here. Flesh. What does flesh speak of? They wanted flesh. Carnality. In other words, the carnal side, we're not satisfied with what we're getting. Okay, we'll keep this in the natural for a minute, but we're going to shift this over to the spiritual here in a minute. All right, it says, "We remember the fish, which we did eat freely." Apparently, okay, they lived by the Nile. They could just catch lots of fish. I guess the Nile was full of fish. There were no big commercial fishermen out there or anything that we know of. Hungry, throw out a hook or a net or something, and you had fish for supper. All right, the fish the cucumbers, melons. There's nothing wrong with cucumbers and melons, is there? I like cucumbers and melons, don't you? It isn't wicked to want cucumbers and melons, is it? Just average food, okay? And then it says, and the leeks and the onions and garlic. Now, what's peculiar about leeks and onions and garlic? What does that represent?
Pungent.
Spice. Pungent. Pungent, yeah. In other words, it really stimulates the taste. It stimulates your tongue. It makes your mouth a little bit hot. I know. Jamaican food. Oh, my goodness. Hot, hot, hot. Nigerian food. Oh, they love it hot. I don't know what there is about some of these people that like their food so hot. Have you ever had Indian food, Larry?
No, I don't. No.
You're a favorite of curry, aren't you? Listen, I knew I could get him going. Well, anyway, if they had come out of India, they would be begging for curry. They want spice. They want something to tickle the tongue a little bit. They don't just want good, nutritious food. They want what they want, and they want what they're used to. We want our old diet. Amen? So I tell you, if you went and lived in the Philippines, you would not be eating the way you're eating now. These people can eat rice morning, noon, and night. White rice, without anything in it. Morning, noon, and night. And I don't know what they do if they come to America. They maybe, you can get rice, you can get white rice, you can eat it 3 times a day here if you want. But we're just talking in the natural now. They were not happy. They were not content. So let me read on here. It says, but now our soul is dried away. Oh, what was the real problem? They didn't say our stomach is dried away. No, they didn't say we're being that malnourished. No, that wasn't the problem. Our soul is being dried away. What is my soul again? My desires, my will, my emotions, my mind, okay? In other words, they wanted to have an emotional experience with their dinners. There's people like that all over the world. Culture is expressed in the way people eat. People have families, people have gatherings, you know. They bring all their cousins together and everything else, and they cook their familiar cultural food, you know. And they just have a good time. These children of Israel had their life upset. Egypt was gone behind them, but Egypt was still in them. And the spiritual side of Egypt was in them too. It wasn't just the physical appetite of the food. There was spiritual thing. I mean, look at that golden calf. Where did that come from? That was not necessary. This is the calf that opened up the Red Sea. This golden thing opened up the Red Sea for us. No way! So there was an ugly side of Egypt that was in there. Now Egypt means the world, okay? You know, when we come out of the world, we get saved, we get born again, we're in the kingdom of God, but you know what? We don't always immediately get rid of the world that's in us. Some of the desires of the world are still there. I tell you, so many times I remember Rita's testimony, and I'm not going to make her say it again, but how she came out so quickly, and she said that her appetite changed of the things she wanted to listen to. The MTV, gone forever. Just the kind of books, the kind of music, the kind of everything, just gone, gone, gone. I don't want that. What was the appetite for now? She wanted the Word of God. Amen. And I think this is what I'm hearing from this young fellow that called on the phone the other day. He has a thirst. He has a hunger. And when the brother from Dubuque sent me an email this morning, he said, "We had a good talk. I sense he wants the deeper things." Amen. So you see, yes, I'm saying, where are the people that want the deeper things? I mean, we've been preaching here for 35 years. People have come through here, come and gone, come and gone, come and gone. Where are the people that want the deeper things? Where did these people go? What did they want? They wanted something else other than what we were feeding them. So they went somewhere else. They found something. They found, I don't know what they found, McDonald's crackers or something. But spiritually speaking. All right, now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Do you see? We have an issue of the lust of the eye. We want it set out pretty for us. You know, we want all those little sliced cucumbers arranged in a nice order. You know, women do that. I don't ever do it. When Rita makes a salad, God bless her, she spends so much time. She puts all the little colors in a different place. I never told you this, did I? I mean, it's all arranged, color coordinated, and everything. And I mean, it tastes good. And I said to her the other day, I said, "You know, you're really a good cook. For me, all I care about is just I throw it together, gobble it down. Okay, it's done." But no, she takes pride in what she's doing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, honey. We're just talking about food here, okay? They wanted something pleasant to their eye. Come on, guys. You're camping now. You're in the wilderness. You aren't going to have it the way you had it back home. It's not going to look pretty, but it's going to be good for you. Okay, now we're going to get to spiritual food. Remember, everything I'm saying, we're talking about the spiritual diet that you're going to get.
They didn't want
the spiritual.
They wanted to turn them back and them themselves wanted to go.
That's right. These Egyptians wanted to, I don't know, but what, maybe Pharaoh didn't send them out with them.
No, he didn't. They came over.
Yeah, but you know, it would have been likely to have spies.
Yes.
See if you just can't turn them back and bring them back. You know, I know I've lost them, but maybe the old spy trick will get them back here again. I don't know. No, they came on their own, as far as I know. But I wouldn't put it past me for Satan to try the other trick.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Our soul is dried now, and the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof was as the color of bdellium. Does anybody know what coriander seed tastes like or bdellium looks like?
White.
It must have been, yeah. I take it didn't have a lot of flashy color to it.
They said it was sweet.
Yeah, yeah, okay, now we're going on. It says, yeah, we'll get there. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and or beat it in a mortar, baked it in pans, made cakes of it, and the taste of it was like the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. So there were many ways they could fix it. In other words, they didn't have to just go out and eat it raw. There were ways to bake it and you know, there were varieties of ways to do it. So you can't complain that you only had the same white rice, same white rice, same white rice. No, there are different ways to make it, okay, to appeal to your, shall we say, your carnal side, okay? All right, now, let me go over into Deuteronomy, and we shall see. Now, Deuteronomy, by the way, is Moses is coming and summarizing. The whole book of Deuteronomy is really Moses' summary of the 40 years. The whole book, really, it seems to me. And Moses is, I think Moses is speaking the book of Deuteronomy. It's like somebody was there taking notes of everything that Moses said. Or maybe Moses himself wrote it down. Anyway, we come to chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. It says, I'll start in the beginning of the chapter. It says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. All right. What was the whole goal? What was the whole purpose? The purpose was to go in and possess the land, to live, to multiply, and if we can follow up on a word we brought a couple weeks ago, to enter into a rest, a place of rest. In other words, to settle in, to dwell in a place, to colonize a place. And not only to, see, they were to do that naturally, but God wanted a spiritual rest, a spiritual taking of the kingdom. In other words, to go in and possess the land. What do we say that God is saying spiritually? What land? What land are we going to possess? We're not going to go march off into some real estate, some neighboring country and neighboring state, Canada, Pennsylvania. No, we're not going to go anywhere and possess something else and claim real estate. What is God saying here? Where is this land that we should possess?
Our own earth.
Yes. My soul.
He wanted the people for himself. He didn't want them to go this God, that way, or the other. He wanted them to take rest with him and in him. He's the most important thing.
Amen.
Same like us today.
Yes. So here he is. He's summarizing. This is what it's all about. This is what these commandments are all about. This is what this law is all about. Okay? Now, we know the law was a precursor to Jesus, but nevertheless, they had to have it. So, and thou shalt remember all the way. See, he's calling to their remembrance. Thou shalt remember all the way in which the Lord thy God fed thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Led thee. I'm sorry. He led thee, but he also fed thee. Thank you for that correction. I'm in verse 2 of chapter 8. Yeah, so he's saying, I want you to have remembrance, okay? Now, in case we forget, what does the Lord have? He has a book of remembrance written, doesn't he? So that we can go back. You know, the funny thing is, our children aren't going to remember. We can tell them all the tales about coming through the Red Sea, and they'll sit there with their eyes open and say, oh, wow, Dad, that sounds pretty good. And you know, but they're not going to know God. They have to know God in a personal way, in the same way that we did. You know that God has children, he has sons, he has daughters, but he has no grandchildren. Did you notice that? No grandchildren. They have to become sons, daughters, on a one generation basis themselves. So, he said, you shall remember. And he says, I led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Oh? Is that what it was all about?
Yeah, why not?
You mean I needed humbling? But I didn't know I needed humbling. How many of you know you need humbling?
Oh,
why are you? You hit the nail right on the head. Yeah, you know. I don't think I ever said it, but I think I used to think it. Oh, I'm one of the most humble people I know, and I'm so proud of it. Would you ever say a thing like that? No, but you might think it. You might think it.
You don't know you're humble.
No, you don't. You don't. I remember, I didn't say that, but I remember saying one time, you know, Lord, I think I'm really, really, really very patient.
Oh, no.
Oh, I was in my 20s. Early 20s, I might add.
Boy.
You know, Lord, I haven't had a temper tantrum or a hissy fit. It's been a long, long time. I must be very patient. And then I got married. Oh, my.
Wow.
You found out. Nope. Wasn't where I thought I was. Okay, so to humble thee. By the way, whose job is it to humble us?
Holy Spirit. Us too. Yeah.
Do you know, I think that there are people who believe that it's their job to humble you. Wrong. No, God does a good job. We don't need to do it to one another. We don't humble one another. Don't go for it. Amen? All right, so to humble thee and to prove thee. What does that prove thee mean? To test you. Now, when God proves us or when God tests us, what's happening? Is it because God didn't know? Listen, when you're in school and the teacher gives you a test, it's because the teacher needs to know how you're doing. Teacher didn't know. That's why she gave you a test. All right? Then the teacher found out, and then you found out. Now, when God gives you a test, God already knows. He didn't do that to find out. He did it for you to find out. In other words, you get tested so that you know how you're doing. To test you and to prove you, okay, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. How many times have you heard people say, oh, I'm just going to walk in the Lord. I'll tell you, I never forget we were in Scotland one time. I think this is way back when with Janet. We were with brother, I know the fellowship.
Mercer?
No, not Mercer, the other fellowship there. Not Jim, the other one. You know who I mean, where they had the elders?
John,
and anyway.
Graham.
Yeah, Brother Graham. And there was a family, a woman and a husband, might have had a couple of older kids came. They came from way up north Scotland. And they came to the meeting. I don't know what we were preaching about. And the woman, after the meeting, she came up to me and she said, oh, where have you been? This is the word we've been looking for. We've been longing for this word. And I went back later and inquired, where are those people? And they said, I don't know, we never saw them again. And then I remember, you might have been here another time, somebody just drove by and stopped and came into the meeting, and I don't know, I might have said, so what brought you here? They said, well, the Holy Spirit told us to stop here. I mean, people did that quite often. There was a couple months that 3, 4, 5 people just sent by the Holy Spirit. And I remember the one, and again, I think it was a woman that was the spokesman, or maybe it was just the woman that came. She says, oh, I have been looking for this word. This is my fellowship. This is where I'm going to be. I'm going to stay here. I think we saw her twice. And that was it. So,
my wife always laughs when somebody says that. She cringes because she says, they're not going to stay at home. She just knows that.
Well, she's got a friend in one of the neighboring little cities, and she made that statement here too. And that was the last time I saw her.
Get tested on.
So, yeah, God says, God knows what's in your heart, whether you're going to keep the word that you said. You were stirred by the Spirit. You were moved by the Spirit. I mean, these people saw a miracle of getting them out of Egypt. Miracle after miracle through that wilderness, dealing with God. And now God is saying, I did all that to sort you out. Yes, to separate the sheep from the goats among you. To see who is really going to follow on to know the Lord. Yes. And he says, now listen to this. We're getting back to the food now. In verse 3. Here's the verse I'm looking for. He says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Listen. He suffered thee to hunger. He made you hungry. In other words, He didn't cater to every whimper that you made. Do you wonder sometimes, it just came to me, why don't we get every whimper prayer that we whimper, get it answered immediately? Because He wants us to be hungry for it. And we're not going to get to know the Lord until we really get hungry for what He has to offer. So, yes, the first time you cry, He's going to test you. Do you really want it? I mean, we cry to God for our kids. Oh, God, save him. He's such a rebel. You know, she's such a this and that. Oh, God, save them. All right. Then we get a little more desperate. And we say, okay, God, whatever it takes, do whatever you must. I can't do it. And then, of course, God does whatever he must. And then we get scared. Oh no, they arrested him. Oh, please. And I'm going to run down and bail him out right away and pay his fine, pay a lawyer fee, you know, and get him off and pay $1,000 to another lawyer, whatever. No, I thought you said whatever it takes. And now you said to me, oh, you changed your mind. You don't want him to go through any trouble. You don't want me to save him. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you asked me to do whatever it takes. Do you see what I'm saying? So God is saying that he made you hungry. You have to be hungry in order to have the right appetite. You have to be deprived of something that you need in order for you to want it. You know? All right. He suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Food that our fathers did not know. All right, we're getting into the spiritual side. The kind of food I'm eating spiritually was something my fathers did not eat. Your fathers probably didn't. If you came from a Catholic or a heathen or an unsaved whatever background, you know that your fathers did not eat the kind of food that we're eating today. My people were believers. They believed in salvation by the blood of God, Jesus. They believed in baptism upon repentance, you know. But nevertheless, they did not go for the deeper things that we understand today. I thank God for the background that I had. I thank God for a godly mother that taught me, if necessary, with her switch. Yes, I do. I thank God for it. And I thank God that by her counsel, I was able to avoid a lot of the depths of sin that I was able to avoid. And I'm not saying that it was necessarily that way. I don't know. I'm not saying that all of the children followed the same advice, but somehow I was more led to yield to my mother. And there were others that did too. We had more than me in the family, of course. So, but nevertheless, I began to yearn for things that our fathers never taught us. The church never taught us. Never taught us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was just, baptism of the Holy Spirit, brethren, that's just a beginning. That's just a baby step. We didn't have that. What they taught us was just basic bread and water of the Word, you know? But it was there. The Word was there. All we had to do was have a hunger. Lord, what does this mean? Carry me deeper. Carry me higher. There's more. You know, the parables that Jesus said. You know, he said, I thank God that he's hid it from some of these But He has revealed it to you. So you have the privilege of knowing the mysteries of the kingdom of God that others did not know, have not hungered for, are not interested in. I was even having a dream last night about this pastor that I was in this church and I don't know what it was all about. We were kind of seated in terraced rows here, and he was down in the front. I don't remember anything he said, and there was a big pond behind him. I don't know, it could have been in a church or outdoors. I don't know, dreams don't make sense anyway. Finally he goes down in this pond, and he's up in the pond up to his waist, and I think, what is this all about? And I had a feeling that the people that were sitting there were basically, the spirit of them was, well, whatever you do, we're for you. We're going to support you. Come, whatever you do, whatever you say, we're just going to follow. And I'm thinking, this is strange. What is this? What it's like? And I remember a woman saying this one time, back when this big Pentecostal business was breaking up about 30 years ago or something, and then one of them went this way, and I remember she says, I'm going to follow Pastor so-and-so no matter what happens, no matter where it goes. You know, and I'm thinking, oh lady, why? You don't care where it's going? You're just, personhood of a person is your loyalty. It has nothing to do with the truth of the Word of God. And I'm beginning to see, you know, this is way back, you know, 30 years ago, I'm beginning to see the appetite that people had. We had Brother Campbell come in here, you know, other fellowships said, oh yes, we're going to, they love the prophetic word. But when he got preaching and they began to listen and they began to think about, what is this going to cost me if I follow this word? And then they began to drop off. And then they began to say, well, we're not ready for that word yet. Our people aren't ready for that. See, that's the way they'll say it. We're not ready for that yet. And I'm thinking, here we are 30 years later. I wonder if they're ready for it yet. No, they're not, because they have been fed something else, and they want to be fed something else. They want the light fare. They want light bread. They want the plain old white rice. They don't want any meat. They don't want anything else. Just give us a little entertainment. Jump in the water if that's what it takes to get people entertained. I don't know if you remember Brother John telling about this guy in West Virginia that was came as a guest speaker, and they had these beams across the top of this church there. He got up there, pulled his shoes off, trimmed his toenails up there. You don't remember him telling about it? You weren't going up to Hadley in those days. And then he says, well, if you really want to hear the word, you come back tomorrow night and we'll have the word. I thought, what? What kind of antics did that guy have to do? The way he was telling, this kind of thing drew people. Their curiosity. What's he going to do tomorrow night? You know, he trimmed his toenails up on the rafter here in the church, and you don't remember that. No.
You want to be sitting under them.
No.
Buddy
Yancy? Yes.
When things get really, really, really bad, which isn't yet at all, it's going to be so hard to see so many people be babies and mm-hmm. do their thing, and you have no support except to walk with Jesus yourself.
Amen. Well, yeah. Let me read on here then. He says that man does not live by natural bread. He said, God said, I gave you manna, I took away your leeks and melons and garlic and onions and cucumbers. I took all that away from you to give you a spiritual lesson. You wanted that food. But what I'm trying to tell you is you don't live by that food. You're going to have an appetite for something else. You're going to have an appetite for the things of God. Otherwise, you're not going to live. I'm telling you, we are coming into a day when we will not live unless we have an appetite for the deep things of God. You can observe. I have never, I don't believe in the history of this world there has ever been an atmosphere and a means of enforcing this atmosphere upon us that there is in the world today. They have the means to force it down our throat, or at least they believe they do. They have got it locked up so tight that if anyone deviates a little bit, and they don't want your children to know, they have an agenda for the children. The devil has got things tight. But I tell you what, there is a way out. And it is, we're going to have an appetite for the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, the miracle here, he says, your raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Here's another example about our soul. What our soul thinks we need. You ready to wear the same clothes you're wearing right now for the next 40 years? You're women.
In Jamaica, we have one pair of shoes and we wear it every year.
Yeah, but you're in America now. And you're a woman. Most women would say, I don't have anything to wear! What that means is, I want something different. How'd you like to wear the same pair of shoes for 40 years? It was a miracle of God. I kind of like my old shoes. I'm really sad when they wear out. Rita knows that. I like my old clothes too. Hate to throw them out. But I'm not like everybody else.
Yeah, but you men don't understand us women.
That's right. See, there we go. I knew that was coming.
You know, I have to say, you men would kind of be the same thing for Lord. Really, when we walk with the Lord, you know, if He's asking us to crucify things, of course we have to do it.
See, this verse here, this had to be hard on the women. This had to be hard.
They don't like us now. They didn't know.
Oh, come down.
No, it was different, you know, different heritage, different time.
All right, nevertheless. Right. Nevertheless.
And
okay.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Thou shalt consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Amen. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. All right, let's go to another spiritual message here in the book of Amos. Brother Amos, so-called minor prophet, and I think he's right near Hosea. Which side of Hosea? I forget. No? It's the other side. Yeah, there we are, the other side of Hosea. Amos 8, verse 11. 8. My. This is actually a judgment. I want to take it in context. Shall I start in verse 7? The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It shall come to pass in that day. By the way, he's referring to the Nile that rises and falls and overflows and goes back. Okay, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. This is prophetic now. This is judgment he's talking about here. This is end time. Okay? And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentations. And I will bring up sackcloth upon your loins. Is he talking about something that he's going to do in the church? It must be. Yeah? And baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the morning, that not morning as in good morning, but as morning wailing, crying, you know, for the loss. For the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. That doesn't sound like a good day, does it? No. Now, listen to this. Behold, the days come. Help me out with this. Tell me what this means. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. God says, I will send a famine. Now, see, he's using natural food type of production issues to talk about a spiritual issue. I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Help me with that. Has that famine happened yet? Really? It's begun, but I don't see enough of it. Yeah, I remember this. This happened. You remember the 1970s? It was called the Charismatic Renewal. Now, I don't remember the 1950s, the latter rain. That was a famine, and people began to hunger for the experience that they had. There was a thing that moved in the 1970s. People, all kinds of people were being baptized in the Holy Spirit. People who you would think didn't deserve it. People who hadn't paid any price or anything else, you know, they were just sitting there in the old dead churches and they were getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think they all followed on with that. I think a lot of them, and probably most of them, went back to their old dead ways. So there was a move of God. It was a famine, a hunger, shall we say, for something of the Lord. Now, brethren, we cannot create that. I can go preach my head off. I cannot create that. The Spirit of God has to create that. Let us pray that God will send that famine. Okay? Now, here's what happens when this famine comes. A famine of hearing the words, a thirst and a hunger for hearing the words of the Lord. Okay? Not just reading the Bible, but hearing what is God saying in this hour. People used to ask, we'd ask one another, what is God saying to you? You know, we had fellowship with other brethren. It was a good fellowship. It was a sweet fellowship. You know, brethren from other churches, ministers, getting together, sharing. But these old walls came up and they went different ways. I want to see the goodness of the Lord flow again. Now, here's what happened. He says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Now, that sounds a lot more like the recent decade, shall we say. Oh, it's in Toronto, you know. There's a thing going on in Toronto. People ran. They went north. Oh, it's in Florida. There's a guy in Florida doing a thing. Zip, it was gone. A flash in the pan. Okay, it's in another city, you know. It's out in California. It's somewhere else, you know. And people would run. Churches, whole churches would rent a bus and go after it.
Isn't that what Jesus said when they say, here is Christ, there is Christ?
Here, there, yeah. He says they shall wander. And you know what? I had a time when I did it too. I did it. I had a little taste of the Holy Spirit. The Full Gospel Christian Businessmen, they'd have a meeting. Do you remember those meetings, Larry? There'd be a speaker come. And you know, these are gifted men that would come. Gifted men, sometimes women. A couple, family, you know. I remember Brother Tom, T-H-O-M, Brother Tom. My goodness, every time. I told the president of the Saratoga chapter, I said, here's my phone number. If ever I change it, I'll let you know. I said, you don't need to let me know everybody that comes, but anytime that man comes, I want you to find me. I want to know. I want to hear it. I'll go wherever he's going to be speaking. See, I was like that. I was hungry. I remember that hunger. We hungered and hungered until we found... we didn't know anything about the brethren that we know today. We didn't know anything about Brother DeSeal. We didn't know. We'd never heard of Brother Campbell in those days. But there, when we found the Word, we found a food that satisfied, we said, that's where I'm going. I'm going to lay hold of that Word. But this prophetic Word here is saying, there are people that are not finding it. And maybe he needs to put a hunger in it. Let me read the rest of this. It says, they shall wander from sea. Okay, I read that and not find it. In that day, verse 13, shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. The young women and the young men, they're going to faint. They're not going to find it. Amen? They that swear by the sin of Samaria shall say, thy God, O Dan, liveth. And the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Actually, what they're referring to in this last verse is they have other gods. The god of Dan was the golden calf. Wasn't it? Yeah. They had one of them, I forget which, one or the other. One was Dan, the other had gone for Baal and Ashtoreth. Let me finish. Oh, there's so much more. I mean, Jesus talked about, except ye eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. We could go into that. You shall have no... He's not talking about the natural things. He's talking about the spiritual things. What did he mean when he told the woman at the well, the water I'll give you? He's not talking about natural things. And something about what he said quickened a thirst in her. Yes, I want it. I want it. We have no follow. We don't know what happened to them. Job even said, thy word is more important than my daily bread. My daily bread. Hallelujah. Let me just finish with a couple of verses in Psalm. Here's a verse in Psalm 119. Verse 103. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I guess the question I'm asking is this. What's our appetite? What do we have an appetite for? Spiritual junk? You know, there's such a thing as spiritual junk food. There really is. I think the television programs are full of spiritual junk food. I see the racks in Walmart. They have a whole row of big time spiritual big name authors, full of books, cranking out books, just cranking out one after another. I don't know. What little I've looked at it, it looks like spiritual junk food. Cotton candy, yeah, there you go. Empty calories. There's a verse in Jeremiah, and I'll finish with that. Jeremiah 15.